And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one, Alabama. I'm talking about. We send our signal way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right. Hey, listen, this is that time. This is that time. Every week we do it, Thursday, 3:30, my favorite time. Boomer and McQueen. McQueen is with us. How are you?
I am fantastic.
She needs a microphone. Hang on, say it again.
Fantastic.
Good. I am so glad. Hit me some whoop-whoops. All right. You know the deal. We ask questions. Y'all just give us your thoughts. The first question I got right out the gate, I'm sitting here holding the article. I almost did it before the break. I thought, no, I'm not going to go ahead and seed this one. I'm going to find out what their pure and unadulterated thoughts are. You ready?
Ready.
So this is a story. I pulled this off townhall.com. So apparently, in a small Massachusetts community recently, Burlington, Massachusetts, the school, which school is this? It's a middle school. A middle school, the Marshall Simmons Middle School. Faculty decided this is going to be so good. We're going to do a pride day. All you students wear your rainbow colors. We're going to have a special pride day at the middle school, except that a bunch of the middle schoolers decided they were having none of it. And they came to school wearing red, white, and blue. And they started tearing down rainbow decorations. And they started walking around yelling, "Our pronouns are USA." So I want your general thoughts. Keep in mind everything we got here. School, Pride Day, kids, wear your rainbows. Other kids, no, red, white, and blue, started tearing stuff down. And then coming at it and saying, our pronouns are USA. Oh, by the way, the school faculty didn't know what to do, and now they're seeking discipline against those children. So, who's first?
This is like a whole bag of a whole lot of stuff
There's a whole bag of a lot of stuff going on. All right, well, you're starting.
Okay, I jumped in. All right, well, in one sense, I'm like, way to go. Like, way to go, those kids. Like, I'm so proud. However, I think we all know that if they were pulling down, I mean, if the pride and that whole crowd was pulling down the U.S. flag, no one would care. I mean, we would care, but, like, there would probably be no disciplinary action, right? Right. Like, I mean, chances are that's what would be going on. It would be, they have a voice, good for them. So I feel like now, because we're pulling down it's against the pride stuff, then now it's an issue, which it is, because we should be able to communicate how we feel without destroying flags or pulling things, doing that. But I think being able to wear your red, white, and blue and say, yes, USA, I think there's nothing wrong with that. But I do think that, part of me is really happy about it, but it's just that whole double standard. That's the problem, I think, is the double standard here.
All right, before I say anything, then, boom, shakalaka, what do you think?
I give the kids an A++, for standing up for what they believe in. Now, I'm about to get to the but. Just like we've talked about on this show before, how we should stand up for our beliefs and as conservatives, do we need to lash out like the other side does when
Absolutely
they
not.
Said, hey, the Black Lives Matter thing, and they start tearing everything? No, we shouldn't do that. So as a parent, would I say something to my kid if he was ripping down other things and stuff like that? I probably would. But then again, on the other side, I'd be like, hey, good job for standing up for what you believe in. And I'd give him a high five for that part.
I'm proud of you for being sticking to who you are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But we don't deface other property or other people's things. And, just today I was listening to a sermon, and it was about just like the power of words, and without going into any more detail other than the fact of when you go into a situation as tense or as difficult or, whether it's political, whether it's something on social media, you can choose to bring the water or bring the match. And I was like, whoa,
wow.
Like good. It was amazing.
Bring
and
the
I was
water
just like,
or bring the match.
And you
yes.
can do that in your marriage. You can do that anywhere, but you can do that at school. What are you going to bring? You can still voice what what you think, but how you say it, you can do it with water, or you can do it with a match or gasoline, I guess.
Let's say, what if it's the gasoline?
That's right. Yeah, then we have a.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so many of those situations are.
I think you guys nailed it. I mean, my first thought was, yeah. and let it sweep across the nation.
Right.
But then I thought, okay, hang on a second. There ain't no reason to be tearing stuff down, kids.
Yep,
I mean, is this? Look, and I, of course, they're middle schoolers. Of course, all the BLM rioters weren't middle schoolers. They were grown people. But nonetheless, I agree with you. But at the same time, I love the fact that these kids were like, I'm not doing
that.
We're
sick of this.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that. And if there is going to be a disciplinary action, there shouldn't be any disciplinary action on the fact that they were standing up for what they believe in. It
yeah.
should be on the tearing down the other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then there needs to be that, like, that's
what
we're setting. Like, that's the expectation being set, and they need to stick to it and not be that double standard, because I think that's what so often right
and
now
why were
seeing.
They doing that in the first place? Yeah. Why were they?
Why are they even in school right now? It's summer.
That's the other part of the story. I mean, yeah, the very idea of the school was deciding that all of you kids will participate in something that many of you don't believe in.
Right. Yeah. Again, stop pushing things on us that you shouldn't be pushing on us.
There you go. How about going back to teaching reading, writing, and arithmetic?
Yes.
Well, heck, that's just right back to, like, in public school, they don't even say Merry Christmas. They just say, have a good holiday break. Like, there's, and now why is this okay? Mm.
I know a bunch of them that say Merry Christmas.
Yeah, actually, I do too.
All right. Next question. You ready?
Yes.
All right. So we're waiting any time now. We may have a ruling from the U.S. Supreme Court on the fact that the Biden administration wants to bail out student loans. All right, but in the meantime, COVID hit. We all remember that. COVID caused everything to be different. The Biden administration suspended any requirement to pay back student loans, waived the accruing of interest on those loans. And I did not even know until this morning when I was getting ready for the show to this day, they're still not having to pay back student loans yet, and that won't start back again until this fall. So this fall, in September, student loans can actually begin accruing interest again.
Goodness.
And then in November, they have to start making their payments. Your thoughts?
It's 2023.
I was like, it's almost 2024 at this point.
So they haven't been doing the interest thing.
And they got a complete waiver.
Oh, my goodness. And then you said that there is it today that they're coming up with the... Like
we're,
if gonna
we're waiting.
Forgive.
The Supreme Court may come back and find out that his bailout plan is a no-go. But that doesn't Good. That doesn't change anything, because this was done under emergency proclamations that were, you know, related to COVID. So, I mean, there's a whole crew of people out there that entered into loans that have not had to do anything now for, what, 3 years?
Right.
That's crazy.
I mean, the smart thing would be is to continue to pay on that loan. So then you're there. You go.
You're
but
not in
they
for
probably
a total
did not.
Culture shock right now. Yeah.
Okay, y'all. Okay, are quiet right now. So I don't.
So what exactly are you at? Like, what's
I guess what I'm asking is, what are your thoughts on this? There's a whole crew of people out there that haven't been paying their bills, and is it necessary? Was this a good thing? Is this the kind of thing that we should look at and go, thank you, government, for helping people out? Or should we look at it and go, you slackers, get off the couch and pay your freaking bills?
Yeah, you're giving everyone a free pass that is not necessary at this point. I mean, I understand for a few months of it when there was so much uncertainty and how, you know, a lot of mortgages you were able to, you know, put a pause on. But, like, it's been 3 years, and I feel like that is one thing that could and has probably contributed even to the fact that just unemployment and people not, like, I don't have to pay this off yet, so it's not as crucial for me to get a job right now, you know, because that was a lot of forgiveness.
But,
so I think it just kind of perpetuates that problem.
Yes, but at the same time, when all of that happened, some of them, this is just on student loans, correct?
Yeah.
Just on student loans. There were some loans that were partially, they could pause them.
Yeah.
But then there were a lot of loans that were not able to pause, or yeah, you could pause, but you still have to pay
accrued interest
and everything. Yeah. That was one of ours.
Yeah,
and
so, a lump sum when
and
you
a
start.
Lump sum. Mm-hmm. So yeah, did it help the people that were in school? Yeah, the people that are in school. But
every bit of that's over.
Every bit of it is over. I mean, that was over
a long time ago.
Yeah. Well, that's been way over. I don't know why it hadn't started back yet. And should it have started back? Yes. Is it, I mean, for me, is it something that, am I happy that it's going to start back? Yeah. I mean, it should have started back a long time ago. So I don't even, the discussion of it is, for me, is like, well, that was dumb for y'all to wait this long to do it.
I agree. I think it's also, though, I think there's something to be said for the fact that the Democrats constantly want to undermine self-reliance. They constantly want to undermine the idea of someone taking personal responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so that I see this as one more example of, we don't want you to be burdened with the fact that you signed up for a freaking loan.
And now you have to work.
For an underwater basket weaving degree.
I would love to know the statistic of all those people that all those kids that are in school. I know there's other student loans out there, but the ones that are in school, they're like, huh, I don't have to pay on this loan yet. Let me go buy a new car, or let me go do this, or let me go do that. And now,
they repay their loan now?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and it just, like what you said, it teaches responsibility, teaches you how to budget. Like, it's so many lessons that should have been learned and practiced during this time that really it was just kind of like a, I feel like just a free pass to do whatever the heck you wanted for 3 years. Mm.
Just this morning, it was announced that there are competing plans for how to handle the fact that they believe the Supreme Court is going to rule that the Biden bailout of student loans can't happen. The two competing plans, one Republican, one Democrat. Bernie Sanders on the Democrat side and Representative Ajit Pai, who's she's a flaming liberal, their plan is free college for everyone making less than $150,000 a year. Wow, awesome.
That's a,
with an estimated price tag of $700 billion. Wow. So basically, if you're a producer and you've got a good income, you get to pay for college. And people, I guarantee you what will happen is people will wind up saying, well, then I'll just take less pay, please, because my kids are going to school.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so there's that. The competing plan is the Republican plan. And this plan is one that's requiring accountability. There's no bailout whatsoever. What it says is no student can get a student loan until they have been presented with what their field of study tends to bring in terms of future income, what the payment plan would be, how long it will take to pay it off, and they have to sign off saying they've been instructed on all of that before they're allowed to get the loan.
Wow.
Wow.
So one is
it's like
zero.
One extreme to the other.
Yeah, one of them saying, hey, if you work less, we'll give you...
it's socialism versus capitalism.
Oh, yeah. Man. Well, and I can say as a scholarship athlete in college, I didn't quite grasp like the cost of an education. I never saw it. I mean, I had everything paid for. And so I think when you have that responsibility, I mean, you take what you're doing so much differently. I mean, you take it a lot more seriously.
Yeah.
And I mean, that was something ingrained to me as an athlete, but like to work hard. But I think a lot of times when you don't have to pay for it, you don't work as hard when you did not have to put in the money to get there.
Yep. And I understand that because I had a scholarship as well, but not full. And so then I had to
come up with the difference.
And then I had to see it in black and white and be like, okay, I need to do X, Y, and Z to be able to pay this off and be done with it.
And see, I had a military scholarship. And my dad had also been setting aside for years. But my military scholarship covered everything, but not my living expenses. There were parts he still had to help with the bill. But then 10 years later, I decided to go to law school, and I paid for every bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
I had some GI Bill, a little bit, but for the most part, I was going to law school on Phil and Charlene's dime. And I'm going to tell you right now, it was a whole new world.
Oh,
and I studied like a madman.
Yeah.
All right, brother, take us to a break. We'll do that. There's round one, Boomer and McQueen. Good stuff, y'all. Okay, we'll come right back. We flipped the script. Now they ask me questions. We'll see how this goes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, making common sense a superpower. All right, so this is the part of Boomer and McQueen where we flip the script and they sling a question at me, a question of their choosing. Who's going first on this? Which ones of you?
I'll go.
Take it.
So I just would love to hear your thoughts and what it means or what it means to our country with the recent kind of pride event display that was at the White House with the pride trans flag being held and the whole little all the hoopla that happened.
What it means, I can see Phil's face.
What it means is 2024 can't get here fast enough.
Oh, amen to that.
Several things. Number one, how wonderful that we have the largest pride display ever in the history of the White House. Maybe one of the only pride displays in the history of the White House. But that being said, you know, first of all, I do not mind. I, I don't believe it. I mean, I wouldn't have attended it myself. You know what? I don't mind if the Biden administration wants to say, we're for the LGBTQ agenda, and we're going to have a pride picnic out there on the lawn. Okay. But then they went way too far. They made this all about bringing the transgender agenda into it. They went out and found all of the most radical transgender influencers they could possibly find, who started posing topless on the White House lawn. And then on top of that, they hung the pride flag in front of the American flag, which is an absolute violation of flag protocol. And then Biden stood up there and said, the LGBTQ community is the most brave and courageous group of people I have ever seen. He's the commander and freaking chief of the U.S. military, who has Marines that land on the lawn with Marine One and salute him as he walks in. But the gay pride group is the most courageous group he's ever seen. So how do I feel about it? 2024 can't get here fast enough.
Amen.
All right. So with that, one of the articles that we just had a little bit ago, before we started this segment, it was the general that was talking about.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Okay. So later on in that whole article, it talked about there has been since January 400 anti-LGBTQ.
Oh, they referred to him as anti, that's right.
So they refer to him as that. Where but on the state level.
Oh, this was like an army
Space Force.
Yes. There we go. Yes.
So what, you know, they're trying to make it sound like, oh my word, there's so much going against the LGBTQ, but it's on the state level, which means, in my head, there's a lot of states and people in those states that are standing up for this.
Yes, that's true.
So what's something that we can do to continue to stand up for what we believe in? Obviously, just not in the, you know, on the...
The legislative arena?
The legislative realm.
Great question.
Keep telling our, you know, state representatives to stand up for it? I mean...
Well, absolutely. Yeah. I'd say, so first of all, that VCAP bill that we passed in Alabama last year, mm-hmm. it didn't pass just because of the will of the legislature. It passed because the people of the state were saying, vote for it. Mm-hmm. And it's the one that made us one of the first states in the nation to ban, the surgeries on kids. Mm. But, you know, I look at it and think, what can we do? The first thing is, do not accept their new normal. All right. Do not accept their so-called new normal. How about we like our normal? We don't need your new normal. And don't tell me that I have to condone something. I've said it multiple times in the show. There's a big difference between choosing not to condemn and being forced to condone.
Ooh.
So I can say, if you want to have a gay pride picnic on the White House lawn, I get it. Y'all are Americans too. I guess you can. Mm-hmm. But don't ask me to feel good about the fact that you stripped naked and thought it was funny to put it out on Instagram, that you're walking around with your fake breasts, excuse me, on our White House lawn. That is absolutely pushing the boundaries, and you know it.
Right.
So that being said, what can we do? Don't accept their new normal. It's not normal.
No.
That's right.
Not at all.
All right. Are we done?
We're almost. Yeah, we are. We are done. We don't have time for any more. We got like 30 seconds left.
I thought we were gonna have like a stupid story. Finally, we're gonna make one. Y'all asked me questions that made me talk too long.
It's all good though.
That's our favorite part.
All right, you guys. I love you both. All right, Boomer and McQueen. By the way, they have an amazing podcast. If you haven't heard it, it's called The Right Life. Comes out on Wednesdays. Just dropped a new episode this week too. Is that correct?
No.
Oh, okay.
Since we were on vacation, we kind of slid on that, but we will be releasing it this week.
Yes.
What do I know? I'm not the boss around here.
Podcast
or anything.
Platform near you.
Okay. Y'all get in that podcast studio and you do a podcast. All right.
Gosh darn it.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, check it out, though. The Right Life podcast is available to you. It's up on our website, rightsideradio.org. You can get all of our stuff there. But, yeah, you can also get Boomer McQueen's weekly podcast, podcast, The Right Life. All right. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, hour number 3 coming up. We'll be right back.